Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm not going to lie, it's been a week. I was defeated by a washing machine this week, so if there's any indication of how low things got, that's just about, yeah,
good indication. You didn't have a housemate that was sitting on it too often?
No. If only that was the issue.
No. What was wrong with your washing machine?
The old one just died, so I had to get a new one.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, of course, no problem. But it's been almost 10 years since I've had a new one, and this new one comes, and I was already feeling a little bit vulnerable and a little bit emotional, and I opened up the manual, and I was destroyed. It's so complicated. It's like it's come from Jupiter.
Really?
This washing machine, the buttons, the options, the things you can do, the pre-wash, the super wash, the quick wash, the soak wash. What happened to just stop, start, cotton, hot, cold, defeated? I was in tears.
The manual defeated me. Oh no! You should have called
the
Windsock 2000. You could have used his artificial intelligence to take you through it.
That's how low I was. It didn't even come into my head to do it. Yep. But I'm wearing it as a badge of honor that a washing machine destroyed me. So I'm just gonna no shame. There's no shame and no on Fiona's forecast. It's all open, honest conversations. And so I'm Fiona, and I was defeated by a washing machine this week.
Look, you can admit that, and you can always turn your underwear inside out to get another day out of them for a start.
Well,
you know.
Look, we may not get that. I'd much quicker go out just to up the road to Bond's outlet and buy some new ones than I would do that and just keep wearing new underwear. We're back on track. Safe to say, we're back on track now. But it did get a bit spicy there for a bit.
Didn't your mum tell you you've always got to wash the underwear before you wear it?
Of course, but if I had the choice of wearing it straight away or just insiding out old underwear, I think I'd know which option I'm going.
No.
As my mum would say, don't you know, just you could just hand wash like the old days and bat it against a brick wall?
Yeah. Go down the Maribyrnong.
Yeah, like, on the rocks. Exactly.
I always go by the sniff them to see if you can get another day out of them. But anyway, moving on.
We're doing it backwards this week, R-rated first, and we'll end
on. Okay. That's right. Or maybe we'll book it. I'm having technical difficulties myself, so I've had to go my really good microphone, which I've not had a complaint. I've had nary a complaint for months, but I left it at work. So I've had to go to the sub bench, and unfortunately it's a Snelling of microphones that I'm using. So hopefully it's not too bad. But what I will say, turning to the forecast, is I've had, like, it's been a freezing end of week, but I've had postcards this week. Remember postcards? Do you remember what they are? There's like a picture of like a swimming pool in Hawaii, and on the back of them you'd write, "Wish you were here," and you get postcards. Yes.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I thought you said a postcard, and I'm like, what? Yeah, sorry, postcard, of course. Yeah.
Postcard. Yeah, I've had at least a dozen this week from forecast listeners who last week bet on our forecast.
Oh, so they're
because
on holidays.
You picked 42 points to Brisbane.
32. Oh, was it 42 or
32? 42. 42. Oh, 42. Okay.
Yeah.
You picked 42, which would have been paying 30-1.
Yep. Fuck, why didn't I put money on that?
I specifically said Massimo would be a late change into the 22.
You did.
So not the sub, but he would come in because we were short on defenders, even short defenders. You then picked the sitting Joe to be Hind.
Yes.
And at one point during the game, he literally sat when he tripped over his head. And then I said the guy who would raise his game above previous levels was Redmond.
Yep.
And of course, the sitting Joe and the smoking Joe are now betting types with all the major sporting apps because obviously of our popularity. So if you multi all those, you and just put $100, you're just drowning in cash. So
and you're welcome.
That's right. You're welcome.
And you owe us a drink or two.
Or 200, and get your pens and paper ready, poised to to take.
Absolutely. Good quality.
All right. Let's move to changes.
This will be a very short segment, won't it?
Yeah, Ridley in.
As they continue to drop like flies.
So Setterfield's injured. So what happened? I didn't even know he was injured until I saw the team earlier.
I believe someone stepped on him during the game. So, look, we have to blame the footy god.
You sure it wasn't Snelling? How did he step on Setterfield?
His foot.
His foot. Oh, okay.
Or his hand. Was it his foot or his hand?
Okay. I thought someone just stepped on.
I think he's got a bit of a fracture. Possibly got a bit of a fracture in the foot or the hand. I think it's the foot that someone trod on him.
Well, foot fractures are months and months and months.
Okay, well, maybe not full fracture. Maybe bruising it was, because I think he's only out for a few or a couple or something. But the point is, as soon as I saw that, without even seeing it, whether it was conditioning or an accident or unlucky, I just thought to myself, how does this keep happening? They just drop every week. We're getting a substantial, important injury, and we're without the player for weeks, not just one little week, not a 1 week hammy, a 6 week hammy. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. And he's kind of critical given Parrish.
Critical.
And they're not. We've had so many impact / unlucky injuries too. It's not like it's soft tissue.
No.
Yeah, that's.
I just think like Brad Scott was doing such a good job covering Peter Wright. You know, it was rising above that. But then all our defenders go down, and last week he kind of, you know, he pulled another hat out of the bag, and I just think he's going to keep running out of rabbits. He's going to keep reaching, and there's going to be no more bunnies in the hat for Brad. And I'm worried.
So what does that mean? Let me finish. I'll finish the Massimo D'Ambrosio omitted and Jordan Ridley in, as I think I said, which is obviously a positive. But what does that mean for our midfield?
Well, here's the thing, solution. You know how everyone in the whole first 8 weeks has been carrying on and whinging that Caldwell, Hobbs and Perkins weren't getting midfield time? Do you know why I didn't partake or agree with that conversation? Because I knew at some point this season, and I think I said it on a pod, midfielders are going to get a bit tired. Someone's going to need a bit of a rest. Heaven forbid there's going to be injuries, because guess what? Now they all the spotlight is on them, because those three, and probably maybe you could chuck Martin in that rotation too.
And Stringer,
but we probably need him down forward. We can't afford to kind of lose him much to the midfield anymore. But now they're going to get their spotlight. So that's why I didn't subscribe to that line of thinking, because I knew this was going to happen. I knew this would come. Maybe not the degree of injuries, but I knew that the form and the fatigue may set in for some of our midfielders. So it just means that, those four are now going to be, and I suspect Caldwell will play the most minutes in there, I think.
Yep.
Hobbs and Perkins will rotate heavily through there tomorrow night.
Look, I think it's good for Perkins, because I've got no doubt that's where his future lies in field.
Hobbs too, let's be honest.
Ridley going to defence does probably allow Langford to go forward, which could in turn, even though he played forward last week, but in turn give Scheel a bit of a chop out
Stringer
in the midfield. Hang on, Stringer. I'm struggling. Kane Baldwin, you never know, he could go forward as well.
I must say I was completely wrong on my prediction on him. He really stood up last week in defence. I was quite shocked at how calm and composed he was as a defender. I actually thought the occasion would get to him and he'd be a bit fumbly, a bit nervy, but he looked really strong and confident in himself. I mean, let's forget the second half, because as far as I saw it, it was a lot of the midfield work that let the defenders down. So he got towed up a bit in the end there. But, I was really happy with. And I think he's got a few potential matchups that he could go to this week. I think he could be a good matchup for Jack Riewoldt, Young Samson down there. Mm. So yeah, I think they should keep him down there definitely, and that, and to play the Laverty role, you know, because I think he's giving maybe a bit of hype to Laverty, but now that Ridley's back, and granted I'm still in mourning that Callie's still not back in, but there's a bit of that structure of his back, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I guess that's the positive, isn't it, with all these injuries, is he's been given a go down back that he wouldn't have got. Maybe we found his position. When he played forward last year, he looked so far off AFL standard, in my opinion.
Just but he was in that system. I would have loved to see him in Brad's system as a forward, see if he changed it. But down back is a good starting point for him. And who knows, maybe he can do his number 26 on the back of his jumper proud and be the swingman like Mr. Hooker was.
Yes. So the I should say the emergencies.
Yes.
We've got Snell in, Brian, Rhett Montgomery and Massimo.
They're hanging in the flip, aren't they? They're just holding on to the flip and Draper combo.
Yeah.
Alive.
Look, he's a bit lucky, Phillips. But as Jez pointed out, he wasn't the worst of the two ruckmen last week.
No.
So maybe Sammy's performance kind of helped him potentially. But when I look at that bench, Snelling's the only one with a bit of versatility, I guess, who can play a little bit up the ground, or he can play deep forward. I think he'll be the sub, unless Nick Bryan's a late change, which is always possible.
For Flip?
Yeah.
I have a feeling Snelling will be the sub, because if we're taking small forwards and putting them in the midfield, because Caldwell and Perkins is not going to be up forward much, our small forwards are Menzies, because Menzies still in, right? Menzies still in the team. Yeah, Menzies and Davey. So, I have a feeling they might bring in Snelling as a rotation for the sub. But, yeah, you're right. But it's going to be wet, I believe. Have you checked the forecast?
Oh, really?
I saw that there's rain tomorrow. I didn't specifically see if it was tomorrow night, because I don't want it to be. So I just I'm hoping that my ignorance to it will mean that it won't occur.
No, winter's definitely here.
It can be as cold as it wants, but if it rains, I'm in a very unhappy place. So what's it looking like?
It's saying the evening 60% likelihood.
Yeah, so that's
right. Which,
the only benefit to that is that my seats are the first row undercover. However,
you'll get wet.
That, and also I still have to get in and out. So
yeah,
I'm selfishly worried. But what does that mean for our squad? Would that motivate them to make a late change? Are you calling another late change this week, or are you backing off that train? You've called it every week.
I'm looking at the balance of the team, and Alan Davey Jr. is a lucky boy, by the way, to retain his spot.
He always said he has to play till dream time at least.
Yeah, you did say that. You did say that, and you were right again after last week. We're just on a roll.
Yeah.
I could see Snelling coming in if it's really wet.
For a big boy? For Flip? One ruck?
Yeah, good question. Maybe Baldwin, who's on the bench, would be dropped if it's just really, really wet, and we just don't think we need that extra toll in defence with Ridley back.
It's not like Richmond have Tom Lynch down there.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, exactly.
But Nankervis is back, so that's their big, big ruckman. So I wonder if that will motivate them, given that Draper was just – I mean, I know Nick Hine was bad, but Draper was – like, I could not have pointed out one positive that Draper – yeah, he was in the negatives as far as I'm concerned. So, I mean, look, for most players, you'd give him the challenge and say, look, this is your week. You're going at it solo. Yeah. You need to step up and you need to win this game for us. But I don't know that he's that motivated. I don't know.
Oh, look, I think he's been good this year. He hasn't been great, but he's been good.
He's been okay. I would say okay.
with a couple of standout moments or one standout game in particular.
Yeah.
I think he's entitled to have a bad game, but he'd want to back it up. It was so dire last week. He'd want to turn it around. But I don't know. I can see, like, what's the big bloke? Ryan from Richmond? I mean, he's going to, if it's really wet, but I don't know that it's that forecast at that sort of rain, if that makes sense.
Okay, good.
But if it is pouring with rain, I can see a couple of late changes from both teams.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure Phillips. The problem is we don't have a second key position player that can go to centre bounces.
Mm.
Just don't.
Yeah. I know people would say Wiedemann, but no.
No, no. I'd honestly rather Stringer in there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very, very, such a very, very last resort. He's just not good at that. He's just not good. Peter Wright is more than capable, but Wiedemann just does not have that in his toolkit, which is fine. No problem. You be your forward and you focus on your forward craft. I have no issues with that. It's our responsibility and it's Draper's responsibility to be able to, you know, kind of excel alone at some point. With Peter Wright topping out, but anyway, we'll get to that.
I think, like, Baldwin couldn't do it, too short. Zerk Thatcher couldn't do it, obviously too short, and you can't take a guy out of full back to ruck. That's never happened. Yeah, I just don't know who that next man up would be. So Phillips probably gets a reprieve. But if it is wet, maybe Baldwin's better below his knees.
Possibly.
Bit more youthful, a bit more mobile. So you never know.
I can't see Baldwin coming out. I'm going to put money on it. I can't see him being dropped. I see Brad Scott as the, you know, he stays true to his word. I don't want to bring them in for one game. I want to bring them in and they stay in for, you know, for the rest of the season kind of thing, and the other players have to work, fight their way back. Like, he wants Laverty to fight for his spot back when he's ready, you know, and that's – so I believe he'll stay true to that.
Speaking of Brad Scott, sliding doors moment, didn't we might have dodged a bullet?
Whew, did I have a little triggering PTSD? I swear to God, I thought, oh, my God, this is all too familiar. And, like, these injuries are nothing compared to the bullet that was dodged.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I think we'll address, well, unlike some podcasts, not podcasts, I should say, unlike some members of the media, whatever, we'll address it on the podcast proper, I think. We'll talk about Alistair Clarkson because I think it's noteworthy and worth debating. But, yeah, on Brad Scott, even his comments last week, the more he talks, the more I like him.
Oh.
And funnily enough, I was talking to a Kangaroo supporter this week who I did ask him, how are you feeling at the moment after the Clarkson situation? And he did say, you've just got a consistent, good guy there who got a lot out of a really bad list.
Yes.
And got the Kangaroos to, what, a preliminary or two?
With the most ordinary list you could ever. I don't have that much history behind me, but there's a case to say that he probably got as far as he could go with probably the worst talent on paper that you could get. Yeah, so that's all system-based, you know?
Mm, agreed. So, anyway, we will now go to the Sitting Joe and the Smoking Joe.
Smoking
Joe, are you doing?
Smoking Joe's mine, and I'm going to go very obvious, but I'm going to go Waller for this game. I'm going to say and bet my washing machine on... on the fact that he's going to just love this night and want to get very, very involved and kick multiple goals and do some damage.
Now, you're about to tread on my wild card territory, I think that's a good shout. I think that's a good shout. Even if it wasn't Dreamtime, I think he's been, what's he played, 3 games in a row now?
This might be the fourth.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. He's going to get better and better. He'll get better and better. The tank will be building.
It will be. And it's a slow build. You always worry. You know, when you see someone who, or in high school, whenever, not so much for you, I went to an all-girls school, but they turn up from one week to the other, they were like 20 kilos lighter. Like, you know, that's just a fad diet. And in 2 weeks' time, you're putting all that back on. So to the people who are saying, oh, his physique is not changing much, this is a slow burn. If you put him on a crash diet and he drops 20 kilos in 1 to 2 weeks, he's gonna just pile it back on. He's gonna get injuries. He's gonna feel terrible about himself. This is a healthy, slow build. So
yeah,
he would be getting fitter and stronger in himself without the obvious, you know, obvious fitness characteristics. So I'm just message to those thinking, judging him on his physical stature. That's what I would just say.
I agree, and he's not He's always been a wombat, built like a wombat or a fire hydrant. You know, he's always been solid, and that's why those tackles crunch people
to
the ground. It's like force times mass.
Yep.
What is it? Force equals mass times acceleration. And when he's accelerating and he tackles, there's a lot of force. So, that's a good one.
Who you got?
Oh, who have I got? I don't want to pick the obvious people.
You can't say Hind again. Like, I think he'll bounce back.
No, and I wouldn't pick him.
He's the obvious one.
by definition, the sitting Joe is somebody who drops a level. And Hind's already dropped.
We should go back and see if our sitting Joe the next week redeemed himself. We should keep track of that. Yeah.
That's a good point. Anyway, he hit rock bottom last week, so I don't think he can drop it. I'm sorry. He woke up with his pants around his ankles at 4 a.m., not remembering how he got there. He's hit rock bottom. That's the equivalent.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say...
I still can't tell who the obvious one is.
I'm going to say Zerk Thatcher. I reckon he might get worked over. By multiple people. I think they'll rotate people through there, including Martin, whoever. I think he might get a little bit discombobulated by that. I think that the ball will be coming down a lot, and I can just see him making a few clangers and just having a bad game, he'll be entitled to have a bad game. Speaking of guys entitled to have a bad game.
Yeah, yeah. He has just been a warrior for us.
Yeah, and like the Lone Ranger in terms of key defenders.
And been asked so much of in his first full kind of season, you know, as a guy consistently in the team, playing way above his weight and height every week.
Yep. Taking the best key forward every single week.
See, I reckon without, like, granted, I feel a bit better knowing how Andy McGrath performed last week on Cameron, how phenomenally he did. So I feel a bit better. But without Jake Kelly, I'm just feeling so nervous about the Richmond Smalls. I reckon that's where we'll get towed up. Shea Bolton, Jaden Short, Rioli. I think that's where they're going to just outclass us. So if Redmond, Andy McGrath, and who else is our small defender down there? Hind. If they're not on their bikes, and if they're not, they need to be. Their reflexes and their instincts have to be so razor sharp, because if those three players get even in their peripheral vision, and I'll add Martin to that too, Dusty Martin.
Well, this is the issue: is that they've named Heppel in the back pocket. He won't play there. He'd get exposed. But people just clear out and give the smallest, quickest guy the 50. So
I reckon Heppel will play a bit more on the wing with Martin going through the middle a bit more too.
Yeah. So
good, because Heppel's been really good the last couple of weeks.
You know what? In hindsight, I can actually see D'Ambrosio coming in again.
He'd probably have a role in this game, to be quite honest.
If it's wet, then
He might be the sub.
Yeah, potentially. But we're just not, like, we your point is really well made. Who is that small defender that will...
I just don't think he's been in great form.
Oh, no, he hasn't at all.
So he doesn't warrant a call-up, but he has a—he probably has a position, a very important position to tomorrow night. So it's a hard one. You bring in a player out of form just because, but Brad Scott has said we're not going to bring him in just because the team sheet dictates. So I kind of take him at his word, to be honest.
Yeah, that's great in theory, but...
You're right.
Yeah. Draper and Phillips are still playing each week. Phillips is still playing each week.
That's a very good point. Oh, I don't think Phillips would be playing if 2 meter Peter was in the team.
No, no way.
I would concede that.
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
are you heading to the game?
I am. Yes. Good. I'm going.
I don't know anybody who's not attending, as in like who's a member or an Essendon supporter. As in everyone who is a member is attending. So I think it's going to be, even if it rains, it's going to be really big numbers.
I do reckon that there's, even though our injuries are dire, and we'll have no right to win this game, and I do not think we'll win this game, and we'll give our predictions at the end.
Yeah.
But I just think the positive mood around the place has helped drive people going along. People like watching this team. I like watching them.
Definitely. Because it's the fight. The fight, yep. I mean, the intent is all that matters. And this, you play that in a system and the rest takes care of itself. The personnel has shown that it doesn't – it matters in the regard of win-loss, but it doesn't matter to show your supporters that you're a fighting team, that you've got a system, that you've got a brand, identifiable brand, players playing for each other, way less selfish play from some, you know – offenders, past offenders.
Offenders is a good way to put it.
So way less of that bullshit. So, yeah, I completely agree with that. That is definitely the driving force. I feel it. I feel the more motivation. I've always been someone who goes no matter what, but there's always a sense of, oh, I'm going to go, but this is not going to be fun. Even if we lose, I still, yes, we'll feel disappointed, but I'll feel like I can see a brand, you know, and a bit of excitement for the future.
Yeah, agree.
Mm.
Whoops, now I don't know what happened there. I think my computer's gone the way of your washing machine. Your housemates. Been sitting on it again. No. All right. I can't remember what we were talking about, but we're back. My audio's cutting out, my internet's cutting out, so we'll go straight to the wild card.
What do you got for me?
All right, so here's my wild card. My theory is, and this is a long-established theory that I had, but it was reaffirmed to me the other day. I was looking at marks of the year on YouTube from, like, I think it was 1990 until 2023. And the amount of Indigenous players that feature is out of proportion to the amount of players that play the game. And so many of these guys are little guys that just have that ability to rise, lead, take a mark, etc. And I've often thought, like the amount of Norm Smith medalists, I reckon Indigenous players, maybe because the game comes easy to them a lot of the time, but they have an ability to rise to the next level. And I was going to say, is that maybe a factor in Richmond's favour because we've got Waller, but their Indigenous players are really good?
Yeah, they certainly have some X factor, don't they, with their Indigenous boys, Shai Bolton and Rioli, as I mentioned earlier. Definitely a lot of X factor. Well, Shai Bolton he'll probably take Mark of the Year this
year.
Yeah, in himself. So, look, but I think what Waller lacks getting off the ground, I think he can bring it in the other ways that he shines.
So, yeah, he'll never take Mark of the Year.
No.
Even though we kick it to him like he's going to one day.
That's true. He might do Rundown of the Year if we can create an award for that. So, look, they might be better in the air, but that's where it's going to be really important for those you know, for Redmond Ridley and Andy McGrath to keep them grounded, to block their ability to do that, to not give them a stepladder to do that. That's going to be part of the coaching, I hope, of the defenders this week, you know, that to know that the, those boys have the ability and the desire to do it often. So to not give them the chance is going to be part of the coaching, I would hope, and planning.
Can Alan Davey rise or raise a level and play a bit more like he did at the start of the year?
Would be great for him to look up. I think we can be a bit hard on him because of his position. It's not a position where, you know, we've seen it with Waller and it's going to be the same with Davey. He's not going to be a big disposal getter. We haven't, our forward line is a bit dysfunctional at the moment. So I'm going to reserve judgment until we've got the structure right. So Peter Wright.
He's a draftee in his first year.
And he's a draftee.
The hardest position really on the ground.
Correct. So I'm going to reserve complete judgment until I'd love to see a forward line of 2 metre Peter, Wiedemann, Stringer, Langford, and then Waller and Davey. Maybe Guelphy gets in there at some point. But I want to see how he goes when there's a bit more of a functioning forward line. So, but it would be wonderful for him to have some really special moments for dad, for his dad, and you know, for his brother sitting there, I'm sure very, very jealous in the curtains, to see him playing on Dreamtime.
I don't know about you. I feel like a proud dad when he plays.
Ridiculous, but I do too, and I just want him to do well. Like I'm his mum. Like I just want him to do so well.
Yep.
But it's probably our Essendon. He's our Essendon. You know, he's part of the family. So
That's how I felt with Job when he started.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely feel it. Obviously, more with Alwyn, and probably more with Jaden too. But yeah, I hope for his sake he has a couple of lovely moments that he can be proud of tomorrow night.
Agree, agree. All right, now before everything just carks it, including you and me.
Yeah.
What's the Now, again, everyone's poised. You got the exact points last week.
I did. I am going to go. I'm going to go an 11-point win to Essendon.
What?
I'm staying with the win. I've said for a month that we're going to win Dreamtime, and then all our players started dropping like flies, and I lost the faith a bit. But I've come back. Even though I cried over a washing machine this week, I'm back. I'm back and I'm sticking to what my initial gut instinct said about a month ago. And that is, this is the, we're breaking a 13-year streak. Is it 13 years? I think, or was it 2013 is the last time we've won?
You know, we haven't won a Dreamtime game.
2013?
Since the actual Indigenous Dreamtime, like 40,000 years ago. That's how long, it's been.
Yeah, so it's been 9 years, I think, since we last, and I think we're going to break that hoodoo tomorrow night. And I think it's going to be so important that we get that win because we've, as I said last forecast, we've climbed the mountain, the four top teams. We've travelled twice. We've climbed the mountain, and now we're just coming down the slope a little bit, back home, a big one at the G, but next week, I think we've got, is it West Coast or Kangaroo something? So we're just on our way back down, and it's important for the group. They deserve the win. They've fought hard for 4 weeks and they deserve this fucking win. So I'm going 11 points.
Well, firstly, well done on just ignoring my Dreamtime joke because that's all it deserved. In terms of
straight over my head.
In terms of the mountain, you know, the Dreamtime in traditional Indigenous cosmology, the Dreamtime was like, you know, 30,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago when the Earth was young type thing. But anyway.
Studying primary school.
Yeah, if you ever have to explain a joke, you know, you're fucked. I love everything you said. Tigers by 37.
Whoa, you're going a big, big loss.
Well, I don't think it's particularly a big loss.
That
I
is think a
it's
big
just,
loss.
Look. You know why people have faith? Because there's no evidence to prove what you believe.
That's not what faith is. Faith is in the absence of evidence, you still believe. That's what faith is.
Okay. Well, the evidence tells me with injuries, we're right, we're coming down that other side of the mountain, but it's that mountain took a lot out of our legs. We had to climb high, go through altitude.
Yeah.
got attacked by some mountain lions or some snow leopards, I should say.
Come back and, worse for wear.
That's right. That's right. We lost a few along the way, literally. I would say 37 points. I think, again, will be game. I think we'll fight around the ground. But I think that I just worry. Your point about their small forwards on a wet day, if they have the ascendancy in the middle, I just worry that we're going to be overrun.
The midfield is concerning. And also, I don't want to worry people, but I don't know that Shields 100% right after that ankle scare last week.
That's right.
As well. So that is a very, very inexperienced midfield. That is going to take a big, 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 big leadership from the captain in the middle there.
Yeah, and I haven't been playing there each week. So, again, all the sports scientists.
The chemistry is going to be off.
Well, chemistry and also just legs. So all the sports scientists on this podcast poo-pooed me the other week when I said that because Perkins hasn't been in the midfield, that he's maybe lost a little bit of his run.
But you don't. It's not. That's not even how sports scientists work. So I've got a backup. I think it was Winsock 2000.
You sure?
It's the preseason where you get the runs in the legs. You don't build fitness during the year.
But if you're not running through the middle, aren't you more likely to run out of steam towards the end of the game if you haven't been doing it week in, week out?
Potentially, but they have been. I wouldn't say that their K's, once their kilometres are checked in their little speedometer thing that they wear on their backs, I don't think they would have let their K's drop that low. Who knows? Time will tell. We shall see.
Is it a GPS or a speedometer?
Whatever it is, the thing in their back that tracks where they've been and what they're doing.
I'll tell you what, Heppel's done 300,000 Ks. He's been around a long time. All right. Well, on that note, to old school podcast listeners, they'll love tonight because it's been just a technical disaster.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this sounds with this shitty mic. So you're welcome to the old school listeners. Thanks to everyone that listened. Remember, gamble responsibly. And what's the new one they say? What are you really gambling with? I'm acting like I don't know and I don't gamble. What are you really gambling with? Gamble responsibly. But if you bet on us last week, you would have made money. So
yeah, you would have. We should start placing a few little cheekies on ourselves, hey?
But don't bet on. No, I shouldn't say it. But don't put your house on 11 points for Essendon. Whatever you do.
Why is my prediction any less favourable than your prediction?
Look, if you're right, I'll have egg on my face, and hopefully I will.
I won last week. I should be granted the faith.
Good point. All right. Well, on that note, thanks to all that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Which is fine if I put it up tonight.
Oh, shit. Yeah.